One of the thorniest issues at the climate conference in Dubai is whether world leaders can agree to phase out fossil fuels. But many experts say that's only part of the equation. This week, we've been hearing about technology that removes planet-warming carbon dioxide that's already in the atmosphere. Yesterday, NPR's Camila Domonoske explained why the Biden administration is spending a lot of money on these kinds of projects. And today, as part of our climate series Reverse Course, we're going to hear about a concrete solution for a warming planet and take a deeper look at a new direct air capture plant in California's Central Valley. Last month, in the city of Tracy, the U.S. Energy Secretary joined a group of very excited scientists and corporate executives to celebrate a milestone.
Welcome to America's first fully commercial direct air capture facility!
A three-year-old company called Heirloom just opened a plant that promises to absorb 1,000 tons of CO2 out of the sky every year. That may sound impossible, but it's happening. Inside an open-air warehouse, robots are busy inspecting stacks of trays that tower 40 feet above the ground. The trays look like cookie sheets, and each one is covered with a powdery substance. That powder is limestone that naturally binds to carbon in the atmosphere as the breeze moves through the building.
This is a blueprint. This is a template of what we need to be building across the world.
Heirloom CEO Shashank Samala says after 3 days, the robots will move the trays into a kiln where a blast of heat separates the carbon from the limestone. All of it is powered by renewable energy.
Just like we have solar farms and wind farms, we want carbon farms sucking up CO2 from the air.
What can you do here? How much?
Yeah, humans emit every day 100 million tons of CO2 into the air. Every day, every single day.
So you need to build like...
Thousands of these things.
Thousands of these.
100%. You know, these facilities need to be 1,000 times larger, and we need to build thousands of those across the world.
A few big spenders agree. To offset its emissions, Microsoft announced in September that it would buy 315,000 metric tons of Heirloom's captured carbon. There's also a lot of money from the government. The Biden administration is investing $1.2 billion in Heirloom and other companies to build direct air capture hubs in Louisiana and Texas. Right now, the technology is expensive. Zamala says it costs more than $1,000 to remove a ton of CO2.
This is like the first iPhone getting out of the assembly line, right? How much? If you only produced one iPhone, it would cost billions of dollars. And that's the same here. It costs over $1,000 a ton because it's early, it's first.
But what do you do with all the carbon once it's separated and stored? It's an ironic twist that some oil companies use CO2 to push more fossil fuels out of the ground. Samala promises that won't happen here.
All the CO2 we capture from the air is going to be permanently sequestered.
Take a moment now and guess where. Ready?
In this case, concrete.
Concrete? To get a lesson on sequestering CO2 in concrete, I drove an hour down the road to meet Alana Guzetta. She's at the Vulcan Materials plant in San Jose, where about a half dozen heavy-duty trucks are waiting to get their spinning drums loaded up with wet concrete.
So this is CO2 that's stored right here.
Guzetta is pointing to a silver tank. It's full of CO2 that gets mixed into a batch just before it's shipped off around the Bay Area.
See the tubes with the metal tape? That's how the CO2 gets carried to be injected to the mixer.
And that CO2 is locked in there for good.
Yes.
Never to pollute the atmosphere again.
Right, exactly.
Guzetta runs the company's National Research Lab across the street, where it is much quieter. It's where she tells me that you don't actually need CO2 in concrete to build concrete sidewalks, bridges, and highways. There's just a few basic ingredients: water, gravel, sand, and cement, which binds it all together.
The cement is the most carbon-intensive ingredient in the concrete mix.
That's because to make cement, you have to heat limestone at very high temperatures, which releases tons of planet-warming pollution. It's why cement production accounts for 8% of the world's carbon emissions, making it one of the top offenders in the world. But Guzetta says injecting CO2 can help. It'll react with the water
and then form tiny pieces of limestone, calcium carbonate, And that calcium carbonate is very stable. So that allows us to lock in some sequestered CO2 in the mix.
And there is another benefit.
Ooh, I hear it cracking or something.
Yeah.
A machine in Gazzetta's lab puts immense pressure onto cores of dried concrete to test their strength. We watch the vise press down. The concrete groans until it breaks.
Ooh!
Gazzetta says carbon makes concrete stronger, which means each batch needs less planet-warming cement.
It's a complete and utter waste of money.
Mark Jacobson doesn't buy it. The director of the Atmosphere Energy Program at Stanford University says storing CO2 in concrete isn't really the problem. It's the carbon farm in California.
There's only about 1,000 tons of carbon dioxide reduced from the air per year by this one plant. That's equivalent to 3 round-trip air flights from San Francisco to Washington, D.C. And one of those flights was actually taken by the Secretary of Energy and her entourage to come to San Francisco for this opening. That is a waste.
Jacobson says direct air capture is a gimmick that comes at a great opportunity cost.
It increases carbon dioxide.
And air pollution.
It increases fossil fuel mining.
Jacobson says all the wind turbines and solar panels you'd need to run thousands of new carbon farms would be much better off replacing coal-fired power plants. Add up the new pipelines or trucks that you'd need to get all that carbon to places like concrete plants, and he says it just doesn't add up. In fact, Jacobson says it's dangerous.
Why would we want to spend money on a technology that is only preventing renewable energy from replacing fossil fuel power plants?
Across the country, NYU's Pat Sappinsley agrees the global economy must deploy more renewable energy.
There is not a single silver bullet. Yes, we should be deploying like crazy.
But she isn't so sure the rush to invest in carbon technology is fruitless. Sappinsley is managing director at the Urban Future Lab's Business Incubator. She says entrepreneurs who've come with ideas to fight climate change have raised $2 billion in private capital since 2009. What would motivate these entrepreneurs with a business idea to come into this market in the first place?
Armageddon? Is that good enough? I'm sure you've heard the analogy of the overflowing bathtub, where a faucet is on, filling a bathtub, it's overflowing, and you have to do two things. You have to pull the plug, and you have to turn off the faucet. So turning off the faucet in this case is stopping emitting carbon. However, we have 200 years of carbon sitting over our heads in the atmosphere now, and if we don't draw that down, we are headed for Armageddon. So we have to drain the bathtub at the same time.
Which is why, she says, there's a big market for new supplies of carbon. Companies can use it to make diamonds, vodka, jet fuel, and yes, concrete.
It's a little bit like the era of the horse and buggy and somebody looking at a car and saying, oh, that'll never work. I think it just takes some time to convince people that the future is in developing climate tech. We need some changes in our economy.
Some people don't need any convincing. Not far from Sappinsley's office in Brooklyn, the city is buzzing with life. A construction crew is banging away on a new apartment building. Concrete blocks and bags of mortar are piled high on site.
Concrete is the second most widely consumed material on Earth after water. At the same time, concrete is emissions intensive.
Riley O'Hara is with CarbonCure. The company created the system used to inject CO2 at nearly 800 concrete plants around the world, including the one in San Jose.
Concrete is central to how we build our communities. It's the key.
See it everywhere
exactly.
Here in the city.
We're sitting on it. We walk on it every day. It's the sewers underneath the street.
O'Hara says CarbonCure can change concrete's reputation. The company sells carbon credits and then splits the revenue with the concrete producers that use the technology. Just last month, they announced a deal to use the CO2 captured at Heirloom's new DAC plants.
When you go around this big city and you look at these buildings and the sidewalks and the steps that we're sitting on, do you think, oh wow, that could be a solution to our climate crisis? Instead of contributing to it.
Yes. One figure that sticks with me sitting where we are is that the world's building stock is expected to double by 2060. On a practical level, that means that we'll be building globally a new New York City every month for the next 40 years. And so as I walk on the sidewalks next to buildings constructed with concrete, I see an opportunity to put as much carbon from the atmosphere in that concrete as possible.
And what better place to do it? In a city where the impossible is sometimes within reach.